Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Isabel, who's been part of the Sangha for many years and thus is a veteran of coming to retreat at the monastery. And we thought it would be neat to have her on this evening to support the DPAP process, the Deepening Practice Action Plan process that we're in the midst of right now, so that when people are making their plans, they have a sense of what are the various practice opportunities and what they can kind of expect and hear from old-timers, people who have been doing them for a while. So welcome, Isabel.
Hi, Jen. It's good to be here.
Good. Thanks for being on. So I know, Isabel, having been on, doing retreats and workshops and that sort of thing for many, many years, that you now have a daily practice. You do things, I'm sure, to support yourself every day. But I wonder if you could speak to what is it about being on retreat at the monastery for you that supports your practice maybe in a way that other things don't necessarily?
Sure. When I look at it, I see there's a few different things that come up. And one of the first ones is actually in line with what we've been looking at with the first email class around celebration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that for myself, there's a way that to the monastery is actually a way of celebrating the sincerity of the person that does practice. It's a way of giving her a gift of a certain amount of time that I'm committing to go and focus entirely on practice.
Oh, that's very nice. So there's a part of you who really, really wants to practice and probably in daily life doesn't get to practice maybe as much as she'd like to, just in the sense that there's lots of other things to do and all of that. But giving her the gift of that time, recognizing her sincerity of here's this week just for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like a gift to her.
Then
the environment of the monastery itself, I find very supportive of going deeper into practice, particularly being on the land and being out in nature without the distractions or the noise of sort of everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge piece of land. I think we're on 320 acres. And we've talked a lot about the privileged environment, so people are probably fairly familiar with that. But we're in silence when we're at the monastery, so that's what you're referring to in terms of the quiet. Obviously, in workshop and retreat time, we're talking. But other than that, just walking around, each person gets to just completely be in their practice, focusing on whatever they're looking at in their own practice. And I really agree with you. That's supportive in a way that no other kind of environment really could be.
Exactly. It's nice to have a break from, cell phones and computers and just to really be able to focus inwards. And what you're mentioning about, the environment supporting practice, I also find like that the way it's structured and having the schedule set up really gives me something to bump up against.
Uh-huh.
So that if I hear a voice saying, I don't want to go to meditation, but it's part of the schedule, I can actually hear the voice and look to see, well, who is that I that doesn't want to go? And that structure helps me to see that more clearly than I might in a day-to-day life.
Uh-huh, because maybe in day-to-day life, it's subtle enough that you just, the voice says, I don't want to do that, and so you just don't do it.
Right. Whatever there could be. What appears to be a good reason, I don't have the time, but when it's built into the schedule, it's much clearer.
Right. You can't use that excuse at the monastery, I don't have the time.
Right.
That's a really great point that it gives you something to bump up against. So it's not about, being the right person or not having that reaction to meditation, but everything becomes interesting. So it's time for meditation because that's what the schedule says. And I get to see how, there's a part of me that says, I don't want to do that. And I get to just explore that, just see, who is that? What's that about? Where else in my life does that come up? All kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And I can definitely relate to what you're saying about everything becoming interesting. Mm-hmm. The word that came up for me when I was thinking about, what is it about going to the monastery? The word magical came up.
Huh.
Something magical about it. It's a little hard to put into words, but it definitely it facilitates deepening my connection with my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm. reminds me of the way Sherry's been talking about it's the reason we do things that light us up. Because when we're lit up, we have access to that experience of ourselves as life. And that reminds me of what you're saying. So it sounds like being at the monastery, you get to be in that experience, that magical
experience. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And certainly all the factors that you've pointed to, that's my experience as well, that the beauty of the land, the nature, in addition to, you know, humans aren't talking to each other, there's also not traffic noise. There aren't, I mean, it's very, very quiet and still. The good food, the nourishment of the body, just sort of on every level, we're supported to be in that magical place.
Yes, and like sleeping out in a hermitage, and so waking up, and the first thing I see is trees outside the window.
Yeah.
And there's something else too that also stays with me after I leave the monastery. Both in terms of the depth of the insights that I have, they seem to sort of create a foundation for my practice. So there's things that I can return back to on a day-to-day level that I've seen very deeply while I was on retreat at the monastery. And so I have an inner knowing of those insights that stay with me.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm projecting not in a way that you need to hold on to them or cling to them, but they just become part of you. They're just there with you now.
Exactly. They're just there. And even there's also sort of like a connection with the land. And having been to the monastery, it's also deepened my connection with Sangha, of feeling a part of Sangha, because I know what the buildings are like, where people are practicing, what the land is. So it sort of has created almost like a feeling of a home base.
Yes. Yes. You know, sometimes people talk about it as a mothership going back.
Yes.
It's a mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as you're talking, it reminds me of, you know, so in many, many professions, teachers, doctors, that sort of thing, therapists, they have a certain number of often called units that, so I'm a doctor now, but I'm not just, I don't go to medical school and then I'm a doctor for the rest of my life. I have to constantly be going back to workshops and seminars and that sort of thing to keep me sharp in what I'm doing. And that's pretty much what you're describing. So yes, we practice in our day-to-day lives, you know, and for those of us really in deepening practice, all of our lives are becoming practice, and it's really important to touch back in with the center of practice and kind of sharpen the skills again.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to say it.
So what else? Anything else about being on retreat that strikes you think would be interesting, especially for folks maybe who are brand new to it?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that happened for me that I never would have imagined was I found that when I was at the monastery, I had the opportunity to see some of the things that I was projecting onto the idea of the monastery.
Mm.
So what is a monastery, or what does that mean for me in my life, or how much can I participate, or how do I fit into Sangha?
Mm.
So it deepened my practice in the sense that I saw that I had some limiting ideas about what a monastery was or how much I could participate in practice. And being there allowed me to bump up against those, if you will, again, and to like, oh, those are just ideas.
Uh-huh. So if I'm following sort of a limitation that was being placed on you about how much you can practice and how deep you can go in practice based on beliefs you had around the monastery and what it means to be at the monastery.
Yes, and what is a monastery? And yeah, so it definitely helped me see through some of those limiting beliefs.
Yeah, and would you say that, I think you've been at the monastery for as much as a month at a time. Would you say
yes.
that being here for that length of time assisted with that?
It did.
Yeah.
Yes, it was definitely when I was there for a month that I saw that.
Yeah, so probably not advisable for someone who's brand new to practice, right? To throw them
right.
being at the monastery for a month. But certainly for someone who's been on retreat, you know, several times, that's a really, you know, that's one of the really great offerings this year, is there is that visiting monk program where people can choose to be here for a month at a time.
Right, yes. And I was looking back, I've been on the There's Nothing Wrong With Your Retreat twice, spaced over a few years. And then it came for the month. And I could see that each time I came, I received something different that was valuable at each stage that I was at in my practice.
Yep. Even in the two, even though you did the same retreat twice, it's a completely different experience, isn't it?
It was. It was completely different.
Yeah, you're a different person. You're with different people who are in the group with you. You might even have a different facilitator. It's just, it's completely a whole new thing.
Yes. Yeah, I would actually, recommend it. It was so valuable.
Yeah. So just very quickly, we've got to hand it over to Michael. But so I'm guessing you would recommend the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a really kind of powerful grounding in all the tools that Sherry teaches in practice, I think. Go ahead.
Sorry. Just going to say, agree with the grounding. I found it very foundational.
Yeah, very foundational. And so great for someone who's just entering practice and really great for someone who's wanting to deepen their practice to go back and kind of sharpen the skills again.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Isabel, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be on.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
So, Michael, we'll pass it over to you and Sherry.
Jen, I have a little reminder for you before
you
run.
You. I'm so glad I told you to remind me. let's see, tell me if I've got this right. So February 21st and 28th are going to be special radio shows to support the DPAP process, the Deepening Practice Action Plan process. Actually, next week also we're going to have, on the Good News Update, we're going to do some more kind of assisting people to learn about practice opportunities and that sort of thing. But the two shows after that, they'll be the normal time, the 5 to 6 Pacific time. But we're going to be focusing on particular topics to really support that process. So people can look forward to that.
Fabulous. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Great. That was so fun to listen to, wasn't it?
Yes, it was great.
Yeah, there's some really powerful points made in that little 10-minute discussion.
Yes.
That I hope people who are kind of on what does it mean? What is a monastery? And as Isabel said, what is going there mean for my life? All of those kinds of, do I really belong there? Have I been practicing long enough to go to a monastery? Or the biggest fear of all, what if I become a monk? And to realize that we just grab up that courage and jump in, and it's a great thing to do for a person.
Yes, yes, it is. I can affirm that from my experience.
Yeah, the thing that people, I think a couple of things that Isabel brought up were the how beautiful it is. How to be in nature like that. That so many people do not have the experience of waking up with the only sound, the song of birds, and looking out and seeing sunshine and trees outside your window. And just that level of being with life in that kind of beauty is transformative.
Yes, yes, so beautiful, so beautiful. I have some announcements here, Sherry.
Good.
We have a new schedule.
You mean
practice.
Like from practice?
Yes.
Not
we
for
have
our show.
Whole, the schedule of practice opportunities for the whole year is now live on the website.
Mm. Oh, I'm going to go there and look at that.
Yes, and it's very beautiful. And registration will open in the next week for the guidance day for monthly donors. That's on February 25th. And the first at-home retreat, which will be on March 10th.
March 10th?
March 10th.
All right. Well, very good.
And folks can navigate to schedule.livingcompassion.org, and that will take them directly there.
Wow. And so when does registration open?
In the next week.
within the next week.
Okay. Yes.
So people just kind of have to go keep checking in.
Checking in.
Okay.
Checking
All
in,
right.
checking in.
Good.
And it gives us a few weeks before the 25th, which is the first one, so that's great.
Yeah. Perfect timing. Lovely.
Lovely. And your recent live webcast workshop is now available to view online.
I had heard that rumor.
It's gorgeous. I've seen it.
Hmm. Good. But you can imagine that I would be a little hesitant to watch it. Or maybe people can't, but that could be sometimes a little more practice opportunity than a person really wants. It was certainly fun being there and doing it, so I hope it translates.
Yes.
Good.
And I realized when I looked at the video that it's like having an on-demand workshop at any time. You could go there and watch it. It's fabulous.
Well, that's great. I know, I think we referred in the last couple of email classes or something that made reference to a guided imagery that's in that video workshop.
Yes.
And it was fun to be able to say, and you know, you can go to the video workshop and do the guided imagery. And,
yes.
So that is kind of any time you want to have that, one of those particular experiences that we did guided imageries for, well, there you go. I suppose you could even mark it, right? So you can just go directly there.
Probably, yes. And to view the webcast, folks can go to livingcompassion.org, and there's a link on the homepage there at the bottom.
And people also, if they missed it, can get the podcast of last week's, was it last week's radio show?
Yes.
Yeah, that was very fun.
Yes.
I was, talk about lit up after that show.
I was lit up too. It was great. It was great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm actually, it's probably too early for you guys there, but I am sitting looking at this beautiful full moon tonight, so it's hard to not be well looking at that.
Oh, I tell you, I've been waiting for it. The moon is probably, well, I don't know. I said today I think trees are my favorite things in nature. It's hard to know. You know, there are so many favorites, but I am such a moon lover. And so I've been waiting. It's been so full for the last three nights that it was hard to imagine it wasn't going to be full all the way until tonight. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Well, it's stunning, so I hope that you'll get a similar view. It's quite amazing. Oh, so I'm with that now, and I've also been aware that, I don't know, it feels like it might be a under attack sort of time or something up, probably the year of deepening practice and things that I'm doing in my own life to be more and more, you know, bringing practice into every place. And it's been one of those rugged times too.
So, in other words, what you're saying is, the more you commit to practice, the more the voices ramp up to try to stop you.
Exactly. I think that is. I suspect that's what I'm seeing. Yes.
Well, and it's good to realize that those two go together, so that we don't think we're doing something wrong. In fact, it's a great reminder that, no, actually, they only get like that when you're really doing something, in quotes, right.
Yeah, that's helpful to hear that again. I think I know it in some place, but it's easy to forget that for sure.
Oh, it's
so
easy for us to forget, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So one place I'm looking is, like, I'm having a really challenging time getting up in the morning at the time that would be required to have meditation and exercise and kind of a good start to the day. And I know this process. I know that sleeping in does not, in fact, feel good and conditioning works on me and I'm going to feel rotten and I won't have time for the things that take care of me. But I'm just, like, going for it over and over again.
And it doesn't, it feels like it is coming from that place of resistance. It doesn't feel like it's winter and the, you know, the bear aspect of our personality takes over, and we just kind of want to hibernate when it's so dark and cold, and it feels like this is a campaign by conditioning to sabotage you.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I've really been trying to tease that out, because it does feel like there is, yeah, it's tricky. It feels like there is a way that it is really dark and cold in the mornings now, and there is, like, sometimes I watch that, okay, let me let the body, like on a weekend, you know, let the body just get up when it would feel good, when the light is coming up more, and sometimes that feels good. And so I've wondered, like, okay, is there a way to change the schedule around that, although it's kind of tough to make it to the commitments that I have if I wait until it gets light to get up. But it easily slides. Like, it seems like there's like a 5-minute difference or something between, like, maybe a little kind to get up a little bit later, or just, you know, I'm pummeled. I'm just, you know, I end up feeling miserable and having really gotten conditioning just grabbing me while I was there, you know?
Okay. This is good. Now, you know, we are committed to the practice of inquiry, right?
Yes.
So that's what we're doing in awareness practice. And so I have some ideas for you.
All right. Very
okay?
good.
Right. So one idea is, and this is something that I am pursuing right now for myself, because you know, many people know I come from a long line of severely depressed people, and I don't do well in the winter. It's you know, anybody who knows me at all knows that I go into mourning when daylight savings time ends in the fall, and I don't really come back fully to life until it switches again in the spring and the days are long again. So one of the things that I'm pursuing is the full spectrum lights. And I just found out that there is a light. I don't know what it is actually, but it's like a blue light that has the same effect as a blue sky.
Ooh, wow.
And so what I'm going to do when I get it, and if you want to check this out with me, practice along, I'm going to turn that on at the time that the alarm goes off.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
So I think that is going to be a very, very fun experiment with what's going on. You know, is it really the system is saying, no, I'm not getting any signals that a human being ought to be up walking around at this time.
Right, yeah.
Or is it the karmic conditioning? So somebody was telling me about this one that I think would also be fun to try. So you set your alarm, and then you set it for like 3 snooze periods. And if you can, you know, get this technical with it, the snooze periods are like 5 minutes long, say. And
okay.
you do a recording that you hit when you hit the snooze, and it starts talking to you about the day and what your commitments are and why you're doing what you're doing and how it takes care of you to get up and do the things that take care of you, and acknowledges that it can be difficult, but it's a part of your practice, you know. So appreciation for it, kind of celebration of your, you know, all of those things that we do. And so you hit snooze, you hit that, and you kind of, you know, the first time you'll probably be wide awake, because now lights are on and people are talking to me. You know, then after a while, it's just kind of that reminder as you're very groggy, and then you do it again, and you're a little bit more awake, and you're having the information that is going to help you be successful going into your day. And then the third time, there's a very good likelihood that you'll be actually primed for the day and ready to hop up and get on with your life.
Okay, so like an iPod alarm clock or something, so the recording could be right there. Is that the sort of thing?
I would think that would work perfectly.
Okay, yes. Because I've actually tried, like, sleeping with my recorder under my pillow to try to, like, support myself with that, and I still, like, sometimes just cannot get the, you know, it just, yeah, it just hasn't happened. But that could be neat. Now, my only concern is I have a husband, and I'm not sure how he's going to feel if, like, suddenly these lights are going on and this
he
recording
needs to,
is...
Just explain he really needs to get with this program.
Okay.
Or you could get him one of those groovy things that they give you on airplanes, you know, flying overseas, and you get the little thing that goes over your eyes
in the earplugs,
he's on his own program.
Yeah, I mean, he knows that I've been struggling with this, so he may be supportive, but it's interesting. I see that that's like a piece too, like if he's not here, sometimes it feels like it's a little easier, but knowing there's another human who's like warm and cozy in the bed, because he doesn't get up at the same time, seems to make it tougher to, you know, want to get up in the dark, cold morning. So I don't know, but
you might have to sell that to yourself as, but it's excellent to have some really quality time just with yourself at the beginning of the day before someone else gets up and you're now interacting with somebody else's energy. That might be a good one. That's back to a little monastery experience, where for a lot of people who are in relationship, having that kind of wake up in the morning and there isn't any other energy to deal with, it's just really being able to focus on and for oneself can be really quite heavenly.
Yeah. Okay, I'll work on that angle.
When I was growing up, and of course, you know, when you're a little kid, you don't know anything. You think that this is just completely normal behavior. But the entire family was trained never to get up before mother had her coffee.
Mm.
It was just understood that you did not do that. And actually, I was grown before I found out that everybody's family didn't operate that way. So, you know, having the need for that kind of just inward focus and get yourself kind of back to yourself, really fully out of that dream state and the effects of karmic conditioning that go on during the night, and really back to yourself and back to center, that's kind of a gift for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to play with all of this. Thank you so much. I'll
so
see
welcome.
How it goes.
You'll let me know.
I will, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to do this together. All right. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm just calling with an update.
Good, good.
I called a couple weeks ago and talked to you about my new practice opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Which happened.
We actually heard that you had an additional practice opportunity.
Yeah, I have all sorts of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that's, you know, that seems to be front and center is the cancer. So... what seems to be coming up over and over with, you know, to practice with right now is, only don't know.
Yes.
Because it's what's hitting me, it's what's hitting me the hardest, and I've always had a challenge with that.
Uh-huh. So.
Living with that.
Yeah. So, in other words, this is not necessarily what you would choose. It's what life is giving you, right? Because you don't know. And the only thing that would be available to you if you left that is the voices of conditioning doing whatever they want to do with it, which is usually to present you with horror stories and terrify you.
Yes, and I appreciated the last caller because, you know, I kind of knew I was going in the right direction when the voices got really bad. Because at first, you know, I felt like I was really supported internally as well as externally, but felt like I was really with the mentor, and I was listening to the mentor's voice, and I was taking care of the person that needed to be taken care of. And I was doing all of that and feeling very positive and good about everything. And then I had a little bit of bad news and a setback, and conditioning just used that little gap to come in and grab me for an entire weekend. Then I was really gone.
Wherever in practice, there are the people who have this, I don't know what they think or what they believe, but what they say is, you know, hate is such a strong word. You know, I mean, I have some voices and they can be kind of annoying or whatever, but, you know, to approach it as if it's hateful, it just doesn't seem helpful. And inside I just go, you know, okay, right. You know, I just hope for you that you are really braced when they hit you like the ton of bricks that they're going to hit you like. Because they're hateful is the only word that comes close to describing something that would have you in a situation like that and then come after you with no purpose than to create the maximum amount of suffering for you.
It seems very opportunistic.
Oh, absolutely. If you're vulnerable at all, it just comes in for the kill.
Yeah, and it took all of my tried and true stories and just twisted them just enough so that they worked with this content and made it believable enough with this particular content. And then I was, like I said, I was just gone. But I was only gone for a couple days, and then I was able to see, oh, okay, got me. But I'm back now, and I can see what you're doing, and it has helped. I don't know why it helps to just say that over and over again for myself is only don't know. That's an okay place to be. I want to know everything. The ego wants to know everything and plan everything out and figure it all out, but I don't know. Me,
right.
The authentic me doesn't really need to know anything.
Right, and the authentic knows that we never do know.
Right.
We know that. I mean, we're privileged folks, and so, you know, most of life goes along pretty well. You know, it's not, we don't have to wonder, am I going to find enough to eat tomorrow, or you know, the kinds of things that a lot of people around the world live with every day. By comparison, what we deal with, generally speaking, is pretty manageable. And so we can easily get lulled into a feeling that we know what's going on, that we have some kind of control over our lives or whatever it is. And then something like this comes along and, I mean, you get it in a big hurry. No, I don't have any control over anything, and I don't know anything, and I can't know anything.
Yeah, but I was pretty convinced that I did. No, I was in control.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it you know, those voices like us to believe that,
right?
Because then, you know, we'll do all of the things they tell us to do, because it maintains that illusion of control.
Right.
Yeah, and then something like this happens, and it's a quick trip into, nope, no such thing. Never has been, never will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anyone's fault. You know, it's not like you did anything wrong. Although that's another big hateful piece of it. You know,
conditioning went there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
It was my fault.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're probably a type A personality.
I'm sure that was it.
Uh-huh. And,
yeah.
And you you ate a lot of the wrong things.
I went on and on, right. But other thing is that's really wonderful right now is the focus on deepening practice and all the extra things that are out there, you know, the workshop and now the email class, and I'm looking forward to, you know, all the rest of the things on the schedule that are coming up, because that, you know, having that plan that I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this, in addition to my daily things, it's just a place for me to, I don't know, it gives me a structure with this whole thing that I don't need to focus, you know, my energies on you know, the figuring out this particular health thing, I'm just going to go deeper into practice and everything will take care of itself.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah. And I think Justin said this during the video workshop, or if not, he said it after, that when we're doing this kind of thing as a sangha, the power of sangha is palpable. You know, it's so much energy for us to tap into, and we can take that energy and use it to support us in whatever's going on with us. So just that that feeling that at one level, there are a lot of people in our sangha, and of course sangha is much bigger than that. But anyway, we're just talking about our sangha. There are a lot of people with health issues.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people in pain. A lot of people, struggling not to just slide into terror of the future. People with money difficulties, issues with family struggles, with it just anything that human beings deal with on a regular basis, we can know that that's going on with people all through our sangha, and people continue to show up and practice as best they can and be there for themselves and be there for the rest of us. And there's tremendous, at least for me, there's tremendous comfort in just knowing that I'm a part of a vast energy that I can actually tap into anytime I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's been a big part of my strength, you know, is knowing that there is a large sangha out there. And there's a lot, I have many different sanghas, you know, I've got quite a lot of support that I'm feeling from everyone around me in different ways.
Yeah.
So that is, just knowing that there's folks out there and everybody's dealing with their challenge.
Yes.
And in a way, we're all doing it together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can know that in that sort of theoretical way we do, and sometimes in an experiential way of, you know, I'm an expression of life, and I'm not separate from all that is. And but when it feels like it's something that's really happening to me, that can get a little theoretical. And having that connection, being able to read or hear what other people are going through and how they're handling it and what their successes are and what their struggles are, and just supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
I know you're taking the best care of yourself that you can, and so I'm just sending energy to that direction.
Thank you very much, and thanks for being there, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll look forward
okay.
to it.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Very good.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net. and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open-air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Renee.
Hello, Renee.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You?
Great. Good. I'm really good.
What's going on?
Well, I have this experience I wanted to share with you and see if you could help a little bit with it, or a lot with it, whichever. So I'm going along, and I'm pretty centered, and everything's great. I'm present, practicing, listening to my recorder, I listen to everything I can all the time. And then something comes in and triggers me with usually anger or irritation or something like that. Sometimes there's little ones, and my son is the best. He can do it the best.
Uh-huh.
So, and so I just get caught off guard with that. So I watch through it. And still go into that identification of listening to whatever is justifying the anger or why you know, it's like a feeling just overwhelms me.
And do you act out of it, or is it a feeling?
Yeah, sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you do.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't, and sometimes I do.
Uh-huh.
If I'm really paying attention closely, then I'll say, don't act, like internally.
Uh-huh.
Don't do anything right now, you know.
Uh-huh.
Other times I'll just do it, and then afterwards I'm like, oh, man, I did that again.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, there's the self-hate that comes, which I've been watching because it just happened last night. And I've been watching the self-hate with it, you know, recording and listening, doing all the things that I have.
So let me ask you this. Is the internal reaction different depending on whether you act out of the sensations or not?
Is the internal reaction...
In other words, does the self-hate only come at you if you act out of the sensations, or does it get you... just for feeling that way?
It also comes at me not quite as much or as strongly as for feeling it too.
Okay, so that to me that's a really important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know if you know why, but I'm gonna even if you know why, I'm gonna say why just in case this applies to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, karmic conditioning, we are socialized, especially as women, but we are socialized to flatline, right? The
mm-hmm.
And for women, especially anger, for men, especially showing sadness, right? I mean, that's just
right.
Classic, you know, it's okay for women to cry, it's okay for men to get angry, it's not okay for the other way around. But the preference is for everybody to flatline. Because even if you're male and angry or you're female and you're crying, there are usually messages that say it's not okay to do that. True?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I was definitely taught to flatline. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's the deal. It's actually karmic conditioning is attempting to remove the humanity from people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first one that I would encourage you to go up against and just flatly refuse to take it on at all. There is absolutely no reason that you shouldn't have all of the feelings you have as a human being. Certainly, I mean, I know it's hard with children to imagine this, but you would, in the big picture, want your children to be self-expressed, right? You don't want them
mm-hmm.
to become repressed
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
have heart conditions because they're holding in all of this unexpressed emotion, right? So it's fine to be expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where you might want to be a choice about it is what you do with it.
Right.
Right? And that's simply a matter of, so now we're out of the social conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate realm of you just shouldn't feel. It's proof that you're a bad person. And now we're over into the kind of awareness practice, mastery sort of thing, where you want to be able to be, to direct your attention such that you can make decisions about how and when you express yourself in whatever way you do.
Right, yeah.
Yeah?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So just those two different things, you know,
right.
being aware of those two different. So here's the next aspect of it, and that is, have you noticed a pattern with this? Are there times that this tends to happen with you?
Well, I have noticed a pattern with it with my son.
Uh huh.
Because I've been doing it for 10 years with him.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, I don't. Luckily, I have mastered a little bit where I don't lose control like I used to.
Uh-huh.
I still get just as angry, and I still do lose control sometimes, but not as much or as harsh as I did before.
Uh-huh. He's
at
here
work.
He's here to help you with your awareness practice.
He is,
you know,
definitely.
That. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good little bodhisattva.
Yes. And then at work, I'd have to say I'm not conscious of a pattern. Not that one doesn't exist.
Okay. Well, that would be the next thing that I would encourage you to do. Instead of staying focused on that this happens,
mm-hmm.
Start charting when it happens and what you can notice about it. For instance, what time of day? How long before or after a meal? Are there who else is around? Are there any constants that you can recognize about the circumstances? For instance, you know, does it usually happen in the afternoon after a really tough morning meeting, or that kind of thing?
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, the one of the big advantages of that is it gets the focus away from I shouldn't do this. I'm doing this. That now makes me vulnerable to these hateful voices beating me up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because when you said the feeling, when just because I'm having the feeling a lot, I started to see a lot just as we've been talking about the self-hatred that comes with that, just feeling it.
Yeah.
Just feeling the feeling.
Oh, yeah. And why shouldn't
yeah.
you? You know, as I'm fond of telling people, we should all aspire to be Italian. I mean, we're sentient beings, for Pete's sake. You know, why not feel? Why not?
Uh-huh.
And why not express it? You know, if you're happy, be really happy. If you're sad, be really sad. You know, if you're
right.
frustrated, just, you know, stomp your little feet and shake your little fist. Where we get into trouble with it, and again, this is the result of the conditioning we've had, is when we start taking it out on other people.
Yes. That's what I do sometimes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, even though this is a child you're talking about, it's not, you know, it's such horsepucky conditioning that just because you're now in a grown-up body and children are in smaller bodies, they're innocent, and you are completely guilty of anything that goes on. anybody who spent any time at all around children knows that, you know, they are not the innocent little angels that, you know, the greeting cards would like us to believe. I mean, kids will, you know, they're little button-finding machines. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot to focus on other than, you know, just seeing what they can get going.
Well, and at work, too, because what will happen is, so I'll get angry at someone, and then I will do something that hurts them without knowing. And so then, so I have this identity that I'm a good person. Which I am, but there's also this person who is the right person who never does anything wrong or, you know, doesn't have much humility.
That's the delusional part of our personality, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll do something and I'll go, wow, I can't believe I did that to them. You know, like when I see it. And so, yeah.
Well, but, you know, there's an easy answer for that, right? So the person who goes, wow, I can't believe I did that, didn't.
Right, right.
Yeah? So it's another one of those, you know, you lose consciousness for a second, somebody slips in there and does some really unfortunate thing, slips out again, and then this person is going, I did that? I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, exactly. So there's sort of this shocker or something like, yeah, and so I've learned to, especially when I'm in a work environment, not to act when I'm emotional. So to be able to choose how I act would be freedom.
Yes, and now we come to another part of it, which I think is a big part of the fiendish plot that karmic conditioning uses to get us in these situations. Okay, we drink too much caffeine, we eat the wrong foods, we don't get enough exercise, and the energy in the body is just building and building and building and building with no outlet except repression and depression. And then it gets to the point where we can't maintain it any longer and it just spills out, and then again, you know, you're a bad person for that happening.
Yeah, I like what you're pointing out. I'm going to experiment with it because one of the things I'm seeing right now is I just work continuously without a break.
Oh, yeah, until the stress level builds so high. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the demands that are coming at me, I feel like I have to always meet them.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm going to be, you know, stressed out, not taken care of.
Exactly. And then
there's
just that one moment where you lose consciousness for a second or lose focus and it all just comes out and spews all over somebody. And then again, you're the bad person. But if we follow it back, it's that you got talked out of taking care of yourself, and then you did what human beings do under those circumstances. So, yeah, it's backing it up. It's taking the break. It's taking care of yourself. It's, you know, even if you have to lock yourself in a restroom somewhere and just jump up and down for 10 minutes. To dissipate the energy. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, practice with them and then let us know what works because, you know, as we were talking about a little bit ago, you're not the only person having these kinds of experiences.
Right, and I don't feel like I am, and I appreciate the Sangha so much. And thank you.
Good.
Thank you to everyone who calls in and talks and participates.
Yeah. Deep gratitude. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, Renee is definitely not the only one having those experiences.
As another parent.
yeah, and another worker, too, yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. We don't even have to have kids to be able to pull this off, but they are just the little surefire awareness practice support themes, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. And we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. My name is Eric. I've called in before. I'm the guy who didn't hear the voices.
Yes, Eric. And how are those voices?
Well, they come up once in a while.
Uh-huh.
before I do that, can I just back up over a couple things? I didn't mean to make it a commercial, but this is some shows I don't relate to anybody. In this show, every single person is like, huh. First lady started off with sleeping in. I thought, huh, that's what I was going to ask. You mentioned light therapy.
Yes.
There's actually a research company in Medicine Hat. They're called lightbook.com. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they've been doing that for years. SAD, seasonally affective disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're part of a research base here, but they're pretty amazing for such a little town to be cutting edge. If you didn't know them, not that I work for them or plugging them.
Uh-huh. But say the name again, Eric.
Lightbook, LITEBOOK.com.
Lightbook.com, okay.
They're like, way before iPads came out, they're like that size little LEDs he's been doing from portable to full room installations. I used to do a TV show on technology, so I had done a story on them, so that's how I know.
Wow. Well, thank you for that tip.
Yes, you're welcome. And thank you for the saying that. So I participated in the There's Nothing Wrong With You email course in November.
Uh-huh.
And that opened up the voices a lot more, I finally, and you've given me some exercises, and I do have your books, like What You Practice Is What You Have, and There's Nothing Wrong With You, and Making a Change, and I got the daily ones coming. I just ordered that.
Oh, uh-huh.
Transform Your Life.
Yes.
So I have some skills, some things from you, and then I took the extra extended course in December, so that's been helpful.
Good.
I got my sister interested. In fact, she signed up for your, iPad updates or something? It really helped to get through her December work season. She said that she'd be frantic and something, and a little email would pop up. She'd just take a breath and calm down.
Oh, very good. Yeah, she gets the tweets. Very good.
Yeah, I just thought I'd pass on you these little things that you do that float out there. You know, there's all these stories that may not get back to you as much as are happening. It's pretty amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And your course with posting all the replies, you know, at first you kind of go, I don't want to wait for this for mine. And then you really get into it. You learn a lot from what everyone else is, even like, as you know, of course you know this. Maybe you don't relate, you go, oh, those people have that thing, but then you find a bunch that you do relate, or later on you go, I heard about this before. So having to read the replies was very useful. I kept a lot of them and go back to them still.
Wow, thank you. You know, when I'm sitting here writing these, one of the things that I'm thinking about constantly is, gosh, I hope people are reading these. Gosh, I hope people, because I mean, there's just astounding information being passed back and forth, and so good. I'm delighted. I think they are a crash course in awareness practice. I mean, there's so many tidbits that a person can get, so many little pieces of the puzzle that can come together just reading what people are writing in, and then, you know, a practiced perspective on whatever that issue is.
Yes, and it's very much part of the practice, if you will, a part of the learning process, because it's so crazy, it's so fast and rapid. You know, have to do it 50 words, and you've got to read them and answer them in 50 words. And yet, you know, and sometimes you go, that's not what I was writing about. She's got the wrong thing. I know that. But, you know, that's what you approached it from the previous message, what was thinking in your head. So that also kind of, you know, fits in your brain as you're reading, going, that's what I was asking, or, you know, what was that person thinking, you know. So it's very useful, just almost, they almost become cones at times, just to kind of look at them and go, what?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And, of course, what you're pointing at is something critical to practice. So everything, I'm having a chance to watch what the reaction is to what's going on, to what's arising. And that's where my liberation lies, right? Not in looking out there and figuring out something out there, but, oh, okay, huh, wow, where's that coming? What's going on with that? And we just work our way toward freedom, kind of one little reaction and observation at a time.
That's so important to me. I got the audiobook to go with There's Nothing Wrong With You. So it happened when I was listening to it, actually, and your voice came through, and you're reading your book, and what you talked about, and I'm paraphrasing you, was that it was a question answer near the end of the whole thing about, When you think you get this aha moment, you're not done. And then you said, you know, when you fall in love, you don't go, good, that's done, check it off. You want to do do this all the time. You have to keep practicing. It's like, yeah. Very interesting point. It's not an end. It's just a process.
It's a moment by moment.
Yeah. My question before I use up all your time or guidance from you, point me to, in the courses where you said this to in reply to someone's post, it was mine, but it doesn't matter. I was talking about bad behaviors, and the first caller was talking about sleeping in. That's one of what I would call a bad behavior. It's something I want to change. But you were writing about egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate does beat everybody all the time, and I understand that now. I'm getting to understand that. Destructive habits, habits that keep you from living a life of possibility or self-hate, I would suggest it comes in you in a form subtle enough that you don't yet recognize it. It's under the radar. It's quietly robbing you of the spontaneity and joy you could be living in. And now I understand that you, in the past, you've challenged me with an exercise when I said there were no voices. Now I'm understanding what you're saying, and through the course, I'd say I get it, but I heard the voices. I had arguments. I recorded responses. It was, like, really cool to suddenly go, oh, that's what she's talking about. Can you give me an exercise or point me to reading or more instruction on this relationship between habits and the subtle enough that you don't yet hear the voices, something to you know, if you're trying to get up in the morning or if you're trying not to eat something or, you know, it's long past and once you've slept in, it's too late to beat yourself up, so you carry on. You know, there's got to be some other way I can start to surface the voices, catch them, bring them up to radar. I'll shut up.
Well, you know, truth be told, you are doing exactly what you need to be doing to have that experience. Because what you're closing in on is being in that place of awareness, observation, if you will, just noticing all the time. And so when you get that, you're already there. You've already gotten that those behaviors are not there to take care of you in any kind of authentic way, right? They're really there to create stumbling blocks for you in your life. And then now what you're watching is how they do it. You know, what do you believe? How do you get distracted? How can they get you to go unconscious long enough that you fall for it? And, you know, what you're really asking about is the thing that is becoming the next passion of my life, which is how can we get it, really get it, that we are living almost all the time in egocentric karmic conditioning and believing that it is who we are. That's the next thing I'm hoping people will really work together to close in on. Because Jen was talking about sleeping in. Now, she's obviously bringing a lot of awareness to it, and you are too, in that you get it, that this is actually not something that's taking care of me. But
right.
For people for a long time, so... you need to get up at a certain time in the morning to get to work on time or whatever it is. And the identity would have you believe that you authentically, legitimately, from the heart, from center, don't want to get up and that it takes care of you to sleep in. That you are making those decisions from center. It takes people a long time to get it that, no, actually, I'm the one who wants to get up so that I can meditate or do yoga or go for a run or eat a good breakfast. That's who I am. That's what I want. And I can't have what I want because I keep running into this system of resistance. And it's being in that experience over and over that begins to help a person see what's me and what's that. But on a day-to-day basis, just walking around in the world, people are hearing this quiet conversation. They don't even hear it as a conversation. There's this thinking that's going on inside their heads that they think is them. They think they're doing it. And it's not them. It's a program that they are so used to. I mean, it truly, it's like a science fiction movie. It's a program that people have been brainwashed into believing is who they are. So the thing is, when it's extreme, we have a chance to catch on to it. You know, you're going along and you're on your way to something. You know, maybe you're on your way to a meditation group or a workshop or something, and the voice says, I don't want to do that. And you get it that, God, that's not me. I want to do this, you know. It slips up and gives the information at just the wrong time, and you hear that it's not you. But those occasions are so rare for people that the amount of time being lulled into this is who I am far outweighs those moments of awareness.
Yes, and when the only thing I can base on when I read the replies that were posted, a large number of people were having huge battles with their voices, and I you know felt excited for them and sad for them. They sad because they didn't realize that was great. If you could hear them, now you could fight them.
Yes.
And sad that there were these huge battles. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? I've said to you before, I just kind of skipped past that part, and obviously I'm trying to bring those voices up, and I have had those moments. When you do start to hear the discussion, you're going, hey, that's not right. And that came about by, you know, what seemed so silly at the time, having been forced to do the exercises in the course, you suddenly hear them. You're just faced with a recorder, having to say, I don't want to record anything else. And hey, who said that?
Right.
So now I'm trying to use that for some of those habits that just seem to happen and go, no, I got to get in front of the curve.
Yes, exactly. And here's my best encouragement. Work on one at a time. And you mentioned that you have making a change for good. It can seem, you know, for our impatient selves, like a month is a way long time to work on something like that. But if it were, say, getting up when you made a commitment to yourself to get up or getting up at a time that really takes care of you, make that the focus for the 30-day retreat and watch. Just turn all of your microscopic attention on how is this happening. And at the end of the month, you'll see all of the different ways it's manipulating you into what we, you know, what it wants to call a failure.
Will do. I believe I called you before on that. There was a question in the book about how did that happen, and I couldn't grasp it. And you tried to explain it to me then, and as limited as I could, I thought I got it. But now, having progressed and been learning, I suddenly went, oh, I know what you mean. How did that happen? So it's probably, not probably, I will start it tomorrow right away then, because it must be time for me to revisit. Maybe now the questions will make more sense, having worked through the background material in the other books. So thank you.
You are so welcome. I got to tell you, I'm very excited for you. This is an exciting time in practice.
Well, it comes through in your replies to the post, which is so energizing. If sometime all you could say is like, you know, you got it, that's great, but I could tell, and of course, as an instructor, as a guide, that's energizing when somebody's taking the steps. You go, I've been pushing them and pointing them and saying that way, and they start to make the tentative steps. So
you got
I'm sure it brings you a lot of energy, right?
Oh, yeah, it's so thrilling. I mean, sometimes I can hardly stand my chair and keep on those keys because I just get so excited for what's happening with people.
But it comes through in your phone, and it comes through in your posts, by the way. At least I picked it up.
Good. I'm
so
glad.
So thank you for your time. I'm starting, well, not feeling guilty, but I'll say
no, don't do that. But
no, I won't.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Namaste.
All right, you too. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Eric. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I am grateful, Sherry.
I am too.
Yes, I am so grateful, Sherry.
Yeah. You sounded just like a Karen Drucker song. You know the one? We won't put people through singing it together, but it's so grateful.
Yes.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yes, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.